Thank you very much. Well, first of all, welcome to the Penang seniors to join us. I'm speaking on behalf of the Singapore seniors. While in me, personally, I'm a Penang senior, so I qualify to speak to both. You are just at the right time because we are beginning our study on the golden years. And it will be a Bible study, and it is taken from Psalm 71, from which our text for the camp is taken. Now, I know many of you do not have your Bibles with you, especially our visitors, but you will have just to listen to what I have to say, because without the Bible, I do not know what to say. I can only say things when there is a Bible in front of me. So let us look at Psalm 71 and the text of our Bible camp. Incidentally, it's very, very interesting that when our brother Dr. Tay wrote to me, he suggested this text, which I already had in mind. And so the two minds thought alike, and the two minds agreed to have this text as our camp text. And it is found in Psalm chapter 71. Hopefully the Singapore seniors in the camp have memorized the text as was proposed by our brother Dr. Tay on the first day. Now, we are going to read from Psalm chapter 71 and verse 18. Verse 18 is our text. But for this morning's consideration, we are going to study verses 17 and 18. Now, verse 17 reads, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. I am sure the Lord will add his blessings upon the reading of his precious word. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for gathering us together in this very simple manner, especially so many of us who are grey-headed. Lord, we do pray that even at our age, we may be ready, prepared to learn from thee as thou teachest us from thy word. So we do pray that thou would speak to every one of us individually and personally this morning as we meditate upon this golden chapter in thy word. We ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going back to the text. Not only verse 18, but verse 17. Verse 17 and verse 18 can be divided into two parts. The first part is what we called the earlier years of the psalmist. The second part is the elderly years of the psalmist. Now, Psalm chapter 71 is a very special chapter. In fact, we may call it the golden age chapter. Why do I say that? Because in the chapter itself, there are references to the golden age. Let me read to you a few verses to show that. For example, in chapter 71 and verse 9, we read, Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. A reference to old age. And then, of course, our text itself. I do not know why I forget my mic again this morning. Right, this will save my voice a little bit. Now, verse 17 will speak of the earlier years of the psalmist, verse 18 will speak of the elderly years of the psalmist. But first of all, let me introduce to you Psalm 71. Now, normally, in the majority of the Psalms, you will find a superscription at the top of the chapter to show you who wrote that particular Psalm. And this Psalm, what do you read? Who wrote this Psalm? Anybody?
David?
Did he say that, David?
No.
At the top?
No.
No. So do not read into the Bible what is not there. And that's the first thing we must learn. But in a way, you may be right. But we must show evidence that you may be right. And again, this is another thing we must learn concerning God's Word. Let us not add into it. Let us not read into it. Let us not take it out of context. But let us read the text as it always should be read. Now, it says there in the superscription for this Psalm 71, a prayer of old age. That's all there is to it. But if we compare verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 71 with chapter 31 of Psalm, then we have an idea of who perhaps might be the author of this Psalm. Now, if you look at Psalm 31 and then keep your finger in Psalm 71 and then we'll read the two passages in comparison. Verse 1 of 71 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Chapter 31, verse 1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Second part of verse 1, "Let me never be put to confusion." Chapter 31, second part, "Let me never be ashamed." Verse 2, "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me," in chapter 71. In chapter 31, "Deliver me in thy righteousness, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me." Verse 3, "Let them be turned back." "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." Chapter 31, verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And because of the identity, or almost the same, of verses 1 to 3 in chapter 31, with chapter 70, verses 1 to 3, some people assume that chapter 70 may be written by David. Because in chapter 31, the psalm was written by
David.
It's very clear there. A psalm of David. So, because Psalm 31 was written by David, stated there very clearly, and the first three verses are almost the same as the first three verses of chapter 71, then some people assume, therefore, that the author of 71 would be the same as 31. What is my opinion? My opinion is, and this is a stand I'm taking, I am not particular whether the Psalm 71 was written by David or not. But in this, I take my stand. That perhaps this psalm was not identified in its authorship, because it would be the psalm not for anyone in particular, but for everyone in general. In other words, it is for you and for me. That Psalm 71 can be applied for you and for me and for every person in general, without addressing the psalm to the experience of any particular person. Therefore, taking on this basis, let each one of us make this psalm, our personal psalm, my psalm, your psalm, and with that, let us see what we can learn. So, going back to our text in Psalm 71, and verse 17, we find the earlier years of the psalmist. The earlier years of the psalmist, as applied to us, should be also the earlier years before we became grey-headed or no head. No head. No hair. Alright, not no head. No hair. Alright. Now, the first part, the earlier days or years of the psalmist can be applied, can be divided into two sections. Firstly, his education. It says there, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. His education in his early years. Secondly, his exposition also in his earlier years, from the youth right up to the time when he became grey-headed, because it says there, and hitherto have I yet declared thy wondrous works. So in the earlier years, we have got two sections. One, his education. Two, his exposition. Let's start off with his education. The first thing and the most important thing we have to learn is this. O God, thou hast taught me. O God, thou hast taught me. Now, I'm wondering what our education is like. Our spiritual education. Our Christian education. How are you educated as a Christian? What is the source of our education in our Christian life? Is it from the lip of the pastor standing on the pulpit Sunday by Sunday? Is it from the preacher standing there, and that's all? Whatever he says, you get educated, then you have a man's education. Or perhaps your education may be just from the reading of many books that will help you in your Christian living, that will help you in your Christian life. Then again, your education is man-based. Have you been to the place and the time when you already spend time with God and God teaches you? And that is important, because many a time, young adults to be especially, when they want to serve God, the first thing they do is, I want to go to a Bible seminary. I have nothing bad to say about seminary, but still, it is the education given by man to you. Now let's see how the men of God in the Bible were taught. Let's begin with Moses. You remember Moses, and I brought this up 2 days ago. Moses was 40 years in the king's palace, thinking that he was somebody, that with all the education that he could receive from the palace, he was somebody. He knew everything, and he could, when the time came, he thought he could do Israel a favor. He killed one who was ill-treated by the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian who ill-treated one of his brethren, and after that he realized that he was nobody, because he fled when the news spread around that he was a murderer. And God sent him into the wilderness, and for 40 years God taught him 40 years in the wilderness that he was a nobody. God cannot use us when we think that we are somebody. And for 40 years he thought he was a somebody. God could not use him. So God must make him learn. And God taught him in the desert. For 40 years he learned to be nobody. And after that, when the 40 years was up, God took him out. And God spoke to him through a burning bush. And we are going to learn about that tonight, when we learn about the third song in the night, I Am That I Am. And so we find that Moses was 40 years in the palace, learning, thinking that he was somebody. He was 40 years in the wilderness, learning that he was nobody. And after he was ready to say to God, "Here am I, send me," then God used him. And for the next 40 years, you remember Moses died at the age of 120 years. For the next 40 years, Moses discovered what God could do with a nobody. The training he learned in the palace, God could not use it. It's the training in the wilderness that God used it. And God used it. And he discovered how God could use him to be a servant of his. That God could do something with a nobody in order that he could serve him. Let's take another person. Paul. We look at Galatians chapter 1. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. And after he had been saved, God started to teach him. We read in verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, and I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem." Paul was saved in Damascus. He could not go straight to Jerusalem to be used by God to preach. No, he could not. He must go into the wilderness of Arabia. And for 3 years he was taught by God that he was a nobody. He thought he was a somebody. When he was persecuting the church, on that road to Damascus, God touched him. And he came to know the Lord. And after that, when he surrendered his life to the Lord, God moved him into the wilderness to learn, to be taught by God. And after 3 years, he was prepared, and God sent him to Jerusalem. He was taught by God, not by man. He was at the feet of Gamaliel too. He was a very well-taught scholar in Old Testament scriptures. But God could not use him. God only used him when 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia, God sent him out. Let's not talk about him alone. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? For 30 years or so, the Lord Jesus Christ lived in Nazareth and moved around as an unknown. Perhaps at the age of 12, as a small little boy, he was found in the temple questioning the Jewish teachers and so on. But after that, we hardly heard of him. That when he was ready at about age of 30 to go out for his public ministry, what did God do? He, though he was God, though he was a son of God, but when he became man, as man, he was a son of man, he must learn. God sent him into the wilderness. Now, of course, he was God. As God, he did not have to learn all this. But as son of man, he must learn obedience, as we heard just now. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. He, as a son of man, learned obedience. As a son of God, he did not have to learn obedience, because he is the Lord himself. Everybody else would obey him. But as a son of man, truly man, in order to take the place of man, he learned obedience. And for 40 days he was in the wilderness before he could minister to the people. And when he was in the wilderness, at the end of those 40 days, Satan came along and tempted him. And remember this, Satan also knew his scriptures. And you know the story. 3 times Satan tempted him. 3 times Satan used the scriptures, but he took the scriptures out of context. And that's what is happening today. When we are not taught by God, when we are not taught by the Lord, we listen only to people on the pulpit perhaps. And we never check it up with God's word. We don't even read God's word sometimes in our growing years, and as a result, we don't know what is truth. And when people take the text out of context and tell us that it's truth, and we believe that, we do not know the text. More about that later on. But the point is, even the Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience for 40 days in the wilderness. And when Satan quoted the scriptures to mislead him, the Lord Jesus said, "It was written. It was written. It was written in the right context." And Satan had to realize that he was defeated there. Jesus learned obedience for 40 days before he was sent out. And then he went out to preach the word. And so we find that it is important in our growing years as a Christian life, we must be taught of God. And therefore we find the psalmist, he said, "O God, thou hast taught me." Now, excuse me for giving you a personal testimony here. Those of you who have received my notes, you see there the title of the study by K.C. Ang. You do not find letters in front of my name. You do not find letters after my name. Why? Because I have no letters before or after. I have never been to a Bible seminary. I do not qualify to go into a theological seminary. I have never been to any of this. And if I know that today if I go to a Bible seminary or theological seminary, I will fail all the examinations. Because when they start asking me about the Bible, I cannot answer. But they ask me the Bible, okay, I can answer. But in many places, they don't ask you about, they ask you about questions on the Bible, but about the Bible. I have no answers. I know only the scriptures. My young days, up to today, I spent time with the Lord. In fact, I was wondering what I was going to say to you this morning. This message of God teaching only came to me this morning after I woke up and I spent time reading the Word of God. Then suddenly I realized I must, before I talk anything about the golden age and the golden years, I must stress the importance here that all those who are here today must be taught of God and not taught by me and not taught by man. And what I'm going to say to you is just this: go back, study God's word for yourself. That is very important. Alright, so with that as the background, even the Lord Jesus Christ must learn the scriptures. It is written. It is written. For everything that you say, you must be able to say, it is written. And that's why those of you who have received my notes, you find there a lot of Bible references. Because I dare not make a statement without the support of the scriptures. It must be supported by scripture in its proper context. So with this, let us go on. What did God teach the psalmist? What did God teach the psalmist? Let's go back to verse 1 of Psalm 71. Verse 1. God taught him three things in his young days. Now, firstly, let's take the text in the context. Alright? In verse 5, we read, "Thou art my God, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." The earlier days of the psalmist. "From my youth, thou art my hope, thou art my trust." And therefore, perhaps, these were the two main topics the Lord God was teaching the psalmist from his youth upwards. In fact, from the time of his birth, if we read verse 6, "By thee have I been held up from the womb." From the womb, "thou art he who took me out of my mother, my praise shall be continually of thee." From the womb. Alright, let's discuss this now. What did God teach the psalmist? 1. Verse 1. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." And that's the first thing, I think, the basic thing that God taught the psalmist. in thee and thee and thee and thee alone. Not a pastor in the church, not the elder in the assembly, not ever, whatever authority you can quote. In thee and thee and thee and thee alone. In thee do I put my trust. Mr. Pang asked me to photocopy the notes for you yesterday. And he asked me whether I did or not. I said, Mr. Pang, you must trust me. You must trust me.
Mr. Ho.
Oh, Mr. Ho, sorry. I'm sorry, Stephen. Sorry. All right, Mr. Ho, sorry. So I told him, you must trust me. Don't trust me for all this. Later on, go back, spend time with the Lord. Be taught by God. Be taught by God. You know, it's very sad today that many Christians are prepared today to go to all church meetings. Some never even know how to open to the Bible. And now the situation is made worse because of the PowerPoint presentation. Bible texts are put up there and they support what the preacher says. But whether the text is taken out of context or not, you do not know. Satan can quote scriptures, but he takes the scriptures out of context. And if you do not know the word and you cannot counter with it is written, you believe everything that he says. And so I must insist, as we go on to see how the psalmist was educated, that we must go back to the scriptures. We must go back to the scriptures, learn the scriptures, and let God speak to you through the scriptures. In thee do I put my trust. Alright, I want to spend some time here. What it means for God to teach the psalmist to put his trust in him and him alone. What does he say in verse 1? In thee do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Now, in chapter 71 verse 1, the word is confusion. Let me never be put to confusion. But if you compare that to with chapter 31 and verse 1, it says, let me never be ashamed. In other words, confusion there is actually ashamed in the Hebrew word. Ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. What did God teach him? What did God teach him? And he desired that he must not be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, that you will never be ashamed. And that's what it all means. Learning the word of God is that you will rightly divide the word of truth, interpret it correctly, so that you will not be ashamed. Do not be confused. Confusion will lead to the wrongly dividing of the word of truth and wrongly applying the word of truth in various circumstances and leading to the wrong interpretation for one's own benefit. That one will lead to more confusion. And the psalmist and Paul said, and his advice to Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth, that you will never, never, never put others to confusion, and you will never be ashamed of it. You must know the scriptures. So let us learn to be taught by God. Let us learn. But let's go on further. In verse 1 of chapter 71, deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. You know, when God said to him, trust me, and he learned that God is my trust, thou art my trust, it does not mean that there will be no problems that come into his life. As we heard this morning, sufferings will come into your life. Don't get away with the misunderstanding and with the misinterpretation that when you sanctify your life to the Lord, when you surrender your life to the Lord, you are going to have a blessed, prosperous life from that time onwards. No. As our brother said, God will give you tribulation. and tribulation, suffering and persecution. All in all, the ultimate aim is God must be glorified in your life. So, as I said again yesterday, day before yesterday, do not try to cut the cocoon for the caterpillar but come out. Don't make it easy. Go through it. Go through suffering. For out of this suffering, you are going to come out a better person, and God will be glorified. And that's the most important point. So, we see therefore, in Psalm 71, again and again, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. Give me no strength. So, God is the trust. But look, please, see what he says further. Of course, through all the suffering and through all the persecution, he will be crying to God. And he says there, incline thine ear unto me and save me. What is he trying to say? Incline thine ear. When we cry, God will hear. Lord, we cry out, he will hear. But this time, he's not crying out. God, please help me. Give me the strength to go through. He's perhaps whispering. Lord, incline your ear. Stretch out your ear and listen to my whisper. That's what he's implying. Even your slightest whisper, if you mean it, he will hear. Sometimes those of us who are going on in years, we get very infirm. We get very weak. And through sickness and suffering, perhaps we get weaker still. But in the lack of breath and strength, we cry out. God will incline his ear and he will listen to us. Compare that with 31. Compare that with 31. It says there, bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Bow. Then, please listen. Even though I don't have the strength to cry out, I whisper, Lord, hear me. That was what he learned even from the very beginning in his youth. Trust him. Trust him. He will be by your side. But let's go back to chapter 17. What do we read? Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Now, the place here is not very clear. He said, thou art my rock and my fortress. But you look at 31. It's more beautiful. Chapter 31 says this. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lord, you are my house. Lord, you are my habitation. Lord, I am staying and I'm living in you. And Lord, you are my house, and this house is standing on the rock, on the solid rock. Thou art my rock. But this rock is further strengthened in defense of any attacks against me, because this rock is surrounded by a fortress around it. Thou art my rock, and thou art my fortress. I stand on a very strong foundation. And I am not afraid of what comes from around me, because thou art my fortress. His foundation was strong. His foundation was built upon his word, because God taught him. And so long as we build our foundation upon a solid rock, we find that when the rains come, when the floods rise, it will stand the force. But what is most interesting is this. In chapter 31, although it's stated very clearly that his house is built upon a rock and his house is surrounded by a fortress, it says there, and it was his prayer, lead me, take me, and lead me, guide me. Take me, Lord. Lead me and guide me. What? Isn't a rock strong? Isn't a rock immobile? Isn't a rock a foundation that can never be moved? But, Lord, although I am in thine house, although you are my habitation, built upon this solid rock, surrounded by this fortress, because you are my fortress, Lord, take me, lead me, guide me. It seems to give the impression that this rock can move. It seems to give the impression that this unmovable rock can move. And yes, it can move. I must have a scripture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. Referring to the God, the Lord who led the Israel out in the wilderness. And verse 4 is the comment. All drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock that followed. How wonderful. The rock that followed. And that rock was Christ. And today, we don't have a stationary rock as the Israelites had, when they were told to smite the rock and water could come out. But today we have the spiritual rock, and that rock is Christ, taking us, taking hold of us, leading us, guiding us. Have we learned this? Somebody said, in my youth, I have learned to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And in his youth, he had learned all these things. Now, many of us have gone on in years, and perhaps we are no more in our youths. But is it too late to be taught by God? Is it too late to be educated by God? No. You can even start now. And you can start now, and you can learn to be taught by God. Let's go on. So that was his education to trust God. But that's another thing. Back to 71. It says there in verse 71. In verse 5, thou art my hope. First, the Lord, it was his trust. Second, the Lord was his hope. And from the very beginning, the Lord was teaching him that the Lord was his hope. And although surrounding him at the moment, moving through life, there would be a lot of problems. There would be enemies that would attack him. He says, no. And that's what the Lord taught him. Hope thou in me. Look to the future. Though the present circumstances are pressing down upon you, people say all sorts of things against you, do not be down.